Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is part two, what we're looking at this morning. Who do you think you are? This is part 4B. Hallelujah. Who do you think you are? Amen. Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks, that's who he is. As a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. And 1 John 4:17, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. So we want to know who we are. We need to find out who he is. Amen. So we've been going through the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, in the first part of the series, we met Jesus, the Son of God. Part 2, we met Jesus, the Son of Man, who identifies completely with our humanity, who did everything that he did. In his ministry, he did it all as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord, God says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It's very specific in naming the man, Jesus of Nazareth. With the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and bringing healing to all who were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. In John chapter 3, we met Jesus the teacher. Now we're here in John chapter 4. We began this morning, Jesus the soul winner, Jesus the evangelist. Glory to God. And how we met this, it says in John chapter 4 at the beginning, it says he had to go through Samaria. And we looked at some different things. He had to go. He had to show the unconditional love of God. She had to know. He had to flow. She had to grow. And she had to go. And she had to show. Because they had to know. You remember any of this? Then she had to flow. Because they had to grow. And that's how the kingdom advances. One life at a time. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we are in the second part of this evening. Hallelujah. If you want to hear the first part, it's online already. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's look at... Where are we in this? John chapter 4 and we'll go to verse 27. We're backing up a little bit. I just wanted to see something that we didn't specifically look at this morning. Who knows the kingdom is in missions mode, not in maintenance mode? In Isaiah 9:6 it says, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. God's always increasing, he's always advancing, he's always moving. People are praying for God to move, and he's saying, you asking me for that? I'm always moving. It's about time you started moving with me. That's what he's saying. Come on, people, try to call down. Move, God, come and move. He said, I'm always moving. I'm always moving. Amen. So we need to understand that he had to go, and so because he had to go, we have to go. But we don't just go once. Amen. And you know, there's an old phrase that people use, isn't it? I've got places to go and people to see. Amen. We need to get a hold of that in our lives. We need to get up every morning and say, I've got places to go and people to see. Amen. Come on, say that. I've got places to go and people to see. Amen. Some people think, man, I led one person to the Lord. Didn't I do well? Well, you get that person equipped, and as I said this morning, God can bring accelerated maturity in people's lives. Amen. And then move on to somebody else that you've got to meet. Somewhere else you've got to go. Jesus turned this woman's life around. She became an evangelist. Glory to God. She brought salvation to many through her testimony to many in that city. But they came out to meet Jesus. And then after having heard him for themselves, they believed in him. Glory to God. And the whole thing snowballed. And a whole city turned around because someone said, I've got somewhere to go and people to see. Hallelujah. He had to go. Go is the commission. Go is the word that he left us with. Amen. Go is the word he left us with. Just keep going because people say, I don't know what God's saying to me. Well, he said go. Amen. That's the last word he spoke. Go. Hallelujah. That was a commission he gave to his disciples. Go. He did say, don't go until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So the kingdom is in missions. But in verse 27 here, at that point it says his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet not one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking about? Who knows, when the disciples saw Jesus talking to this woman, they wondered what in the world he was up to. First of all, he was talking to a woman. That wasn't something he was supposed to have been doing. And it's certainly not a Samaritan woman, and certainly not a Samaritan woman of her reputation. They didn't maybe know all of these facts and all of these details, but they were just shocked that he was talking to a woman. Amen. Glory to God. So verse 31, It says, in the meantime, his disciples urged Jesus, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food, listen to this, my food is to do the will, say the will. My food is to do the will, say to do the will, to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. It's not enough just to pray for his will, you've got to do his will. Amen. When you pray, God's going to give you an answer, and you've got to do something with that answer. He's going to give you, in fact, he'll give you more than an answer, he'll give you instructions, specific instructions. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. His word is his will, and his will is his word. So I believe there's two things I believe that we need to get a hold of tonight if we're going to be effective soul winners, if we're going to be evangelists. If Jesus is an evangelist, then as he is, so are we in this world. We are here to bring the good news to people. Amen. That's part of why we're here. In fact, that's the main part of why we're here. So the first thing I want us to get a hold of tonight is we must have the right attitude. And to have the right attitude, we need to hook up. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We need to hook up with the kingdom. We need to hook up with God's kingdom agenda. So that, you know, attitude doesn't just mean the way that you respond to things. Attitude is also an aeronautical term. It means the direction of a plane. If a plane doesn't retain the right attitude, it can end up somewhere it doesn't want to go. And a lot of us, if we don't retain the right attitude, we can end up somewhere we don't want to go. Attitude's about direction in our lives, and we need to hook up with the Holy Spirit. As he is, so are we in this world. Our purpose is to do the will of him who sent us and to finish his work. Ali read it this morning from Mark chapter 11. Yesterday I was going to speak about that last night, and then the Lord just led me to what we did speak about. Because I'd been reading that in the morning at the end of Matthew chapter 11. And you know, Jesus says, come to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come and learn from me. And he invites us to hook up with him. To hook up with him. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. Our purpose is the same purpose that he had, to do the will of him who has sent us and to finish his work. Amen. The same works that he did. We are here to preach the kingdom. So we must hook up with the Father's love for the lost. Amen. We have to go and we have to show. We are here to show people the unconditional love of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because they have to know that God loves them. They have to know that there's someone who hasn't, that we're not presenting them with a God who's judging them. We're not presenting them with a God who hates them. We're bringing to them the love of a God who's reaching out to them, regardless of who they are or where they've been or what they've done or what their history is. Hallelujah. We're here to tell them that their history can be wiped out. Totally wiped out. They can start afresh and begin to and step into the destiny that God has for them. God doesn't have a history for them, he's got a destiny for them. Amen. I said God doesn't have a history for them, he's got a destiny. He doesn't have a history for you, he's got a destiny for you. Your history is no longer relevant. Hallelujah. And I can start afresh tonight. Hallelujah. We need to hook up with the Father's love for the lost, his desire to seek them out and to save them. We need to hook up with the Holy Spirit and his kingdom business, his kingdom agenda, which is seeking to save that which is lost. In verse 35, Jesus says to these guys, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Let's just get into context a little bit. I mean, Jesus shows up in this place. The disciples, all they're thinking about is their bellies are rumbling. All they're thinking about is getting something to eat. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of the local ministers and his elders coming in to storm me for a presbytery meeting. You know what I'm saying? Come on, picture the scene. and when they get into town, the elders are saying, oh man, I'm really hungry, and maybe we'll go and get ourselves a Chinese takeaway or something. And Jesus says, all right, okay. And the minister says, all right, I'll just hang around in town. And then he looks across and he sees the clacking dial and he thinks, maybe I'll just go in there while I'm waiting. He's in the clacking bar and he walks up to the bar and he says to the barmaid, can I have a drink? A drink of water. And she's shocked because she knows who he is. She recognizes who he is. And she's shocked that he's walked through the door of that bar. Come on, let's get it into context. Come on, I've never darkened the door of that pub. You're not supposed to darken, you're supposed to lighten it, you clown. When you walk through the door of that bar, you don't darken the door, you brighten the door. Amen. And she's shocked and she's saying, what are you asking me for a drink for? Think about it. This is pretty much similar to what happened here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus says to these guys, do you not say, verse 35, that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, the one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Do not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, look up. You need the right attitude, you need to hook up, you need the right perspective, you need to look up. Amen. Lift up your eyes, look up, stop looking down at lost people. And many of us do that. Come on, we look down at people who are lost. We look down at people who have a bit of a history. We look down at people in the condition they're in. No wonder they don't want anything to do with us. No wonder they don't want to come anywhere near our churches. Because all they feel from us is judgment and condemnation. Even when we sit them down and try and give them the, you know, the 5 points to effective evangelism, you know what I'm saying? It's not what they want. That's not what they need. That doesn't scratch the itch. Hallelujah. We're here to show them love. When Jesus asked that woman for a drink, what he was communicating to her was, I don't think there's anything unclean or contaminated about you. I'm happy to take a drink from you. Hallelujah. Amen. He was giving her control. We want to maintain control when we're out evangelizing. Come on, I'm the big show. I'm the guy with the good news. I'm the guy who's got your number. Come on, I'm here to tell you how it's done. I'm here to tell you how to sort your life out. He gives her control. When he asks her for a drink. Hallelujah. I tell you, most Christians don't know how to operate in anything else but control. And control is witchcraft. It's got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit altogether. And too many of God's people need delivered from that mess. Always need to be in control. Always need to be in charge. Always need to be, to know how, come on. Always has to go their way. If it's not working their way, it's not working. People aren't behaving the way they think they should behave, then forget it. There's no unconditional love. There's no unconditional acceptance. I'm not talking about unconditional approval. That's a different thing altogether. Unconditional love doesn't mean unconditional approval. You can totally disapprove of someone's lifestyle and still love them unconditionally. Still accept them unconditionally. Into relationship, into fellowship. Hallelujah. You can give them control in that situation, even though you don't approve of their lifestyle. That doesn't matter. That's another thing altogether. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We must maintain unconditional love. We must always display, we must always show people unconditional acceptance. Hallelujah. Whether we approve of them or not. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift up your eyes. Look up. Stop looking down at lost people. They're not stupid. People are very quickly made aware of how we think about them and what we think about them through our words and our actions. Most folks recognize that every Christian that tries to get into their lives are self-righteously looking down at them and thinking they're better than them. Is that the way we communicate the gospel, the good news to people? That's not how Jesus did it. That's not how Jesus did it. See, Jesus modeled successful ministry by wrapping a towel around his waist and getting down in front of his disciples and washing their feet. And from there, he looked up. Hallelujah. Jesus said, stop looking down, start looking up. Amen. See, he gave that woman control, but really, he was there to bless her with something. But he gave her the opportunity to bless him with something. Do you know how many people think that way? I won't take anything from you unless I can give you something first. Come on, that's in people. Jesus was a master strategist. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't understand. I said, he said, give me a drink. Because he had a drink for her. But he knew that she wouldn't accept a drink from him unless he took a drink from her first. Hallelujah. And when he said, I'll take a drink from your contaminated pool, he was opening up the way for her to get a drink from his. Eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. We need the right perspective. We need the right attitude. We need the right perspective. It's as you get down to serve and look up that you begin to see that the harvest's already ripe for the picking. You stop seeing what's wrong with people and you start seeing God's plan for people. You see, all the things that you see wrong with people is what gets in the way. I'll tell you, you ain't got no business and you ain't got the tools and you ain't got the know-how to unravel their mess anyhow. So I don't know why you're bothered looking at what's wrong with them, because you've got nothing to fix them. All you've got is a limitless reserve of unconditional love available to you. And that'll work magic with everything. You only apply magic in this situation or context. Well, there, I just said it anyhow. It must be that devil's magic must be a counterfeit for God's magic. I ain't God's magic, you know. Oh, hallelujah. I don't mean abracadabra. I mean, he's Glasgow magic. Hallelujah. You probably got abracadabra from tongues anyhow, you know what I'm saying? Counterfeit tongues, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So when you get down to serve people and you look up, you begin to see that, wait a minute, this is harvest. That's what Jesus was encouraging his disciples. Stop seeing this woman. Stop seeing everything that's wrong with this situation. And start recognizing there's something right here. There's a harvest here that's ripe for the picking. That this is what it's all about, guys. Wait till you see what happens next. What happens next? The whole city gets reaped. Because they stopped looking at what was wrong. And started looking at what was ripe. Hallelujah. Come on. Christians think they're here to sort out the world, you know, sort everybody out. We're here to sort anybody out. Come on. We're here to go with the unconditional love of God and show and demonstrate that love. Hallelujah. We've looked at what happened earlier on, so let's go now to verse 43. After 2 days, he departs from there. Why? Because he had to go. Places to go, people to see. Come on, let's see it. Places to go, people to see. Hallelujah. Come on, after 2 days he departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. That's why it's sometimes good to go somewhere else. Places to go, people to see. I feel that in my own life, my own ministry that God's given me. The time there's places to go and there's people to see. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now after 2 days he departed from there, and it says when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, and this is interesting, I want to catch this because I want to look for just a few minutes at the role of signs and wonders in soul winning and in evangelism. Who knows that? I'll leave that for a moment. Hallelujah. Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So the man believed the word. What did he do? He believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. What had the word said? Your son lives. Your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Hallelujah. See, this man was a Jew. Healing was already his. Amen. Who knows, it's not just an evangelist is someone who proclaims good news, who carries good news, who brings good news. Who knows that it's not just always the world that need to hear that good news. Sometimes the church is sadly lacking in that good news. An evangelist's role is not always out there in the world. Sometimes the evangelist has to come into church with the good news. There's a lot of people in church that don't have a handle on the good news. This man was a Jew. Healing was already his. He had a covenant with God through Abraham that included healing. And yet somehow, he hadn't got a handle on that. You see, miraculous signs and wonders are primarily for the lost. Amen? You don't need to follow the signs unless you're lost. I don't follow the signs to Barbados anymore. I know the way to Barbados. I don't need to look at the signs. Amen. Doesn't matter if the wind blew them down or a lorry smacked into them and killed them over. I don't need the signs anymore. I know my way to Barbados. But if I was just come off the ferry and I'd never been on this island before, I'd be looking for the signs. Because I wouldn't know the way. But who knows, a lot of Christians are hooked on signs. They can be part of a church that's trucking along, that's making progress, that's doing kingdom stuff, and they hear that somewhere over the road there's a few signs showed up and they're off. Where the signs are. They just lost their way. I might get that, but I'll come back. I mean, I can see how popular that is. Anyway, so. You see, signs are there to reveal God's goodness, to show people, the lost people, the way to the Father's heart. They're designed to be an introduction to the good. Everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. These were signs to point people to the Father's heart for them. But they're supposed to be just an introduction to the good that will always be a stepping stone to the best. Do you want the good or do you want the best? You see, there's a good and there's a better and there's a best. Now you can have the good, you can even move on to the better, but there's a best that God has for us. There's the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. The perfect's the best. Good's good. Acceptable is acceptable. The perfect is perfect. Amen. Now, is anybody tired or something? You doing okay? You got your seatbelts fastened? Hallelujah. You here for the long haul? I have a request to have it. Make this a short one. How are we doing so far? Not very well. Hallelujah. But I believe here, Jesus, when he says this, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. I believe Jesus is perplexed here. He's not given to despair, but he is perplexed. At the slowness of God's people, I understand this, the slowness of God's people to believe in the fullness of his provision, unless they see signs and wonders. See, little has changed in the church today. The majority of the charismatic church are still chasing after signs and wonders instead of living in the fullness of what's already theirs. We're coming Wednesday morning. Rod was going off on the lunchtime ferry, so Wednesday morning was a nice day. I thought, he hasn't been to Ness. We'll just, we'll say, let's jump in the car. We'll go up to Ness. And so off we went up to Ness, and we're just chatting and talking about things, kingdom things. And on the way back, we were talking about something, and I'm talking about this whole signs and wonders stuff, and I slammed on the anchors, and I said, oh, look! And he looked, and there's a sign, and he said, I said, look, the bar's pottery! This amazing pottery! Oh, it's a great pottery! Oh, look at it, it's amazing, fantastic pottery, the bar's pottery. We're looking at this sign. I said, honest, I mean, I tell you, bar's pottery, oh, beautiful stuff. Absolutely amazing. Look at that, look, bar's pottery. And but see, that the sign says Bar Pottery, but it's got an arrow pointing down the road. Now you can stop at the sign, but you will never experience the pottery that they have in Bar Pottery at the sign. Come on. Now, some people get fascinated with signs. I'm not really interested in signs, to be honest. I want to get where I'm going. I'm interested in destinations. If I tried that with Katrina tonight, you know, she's always desperate to get home. If I stop at the top of the road because it says Dalbeg, she's not going to be a happy puppy, I'll tell you. If Mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. I'm going to say, oh, here we are, Katrina. She said, what do you mean? I said, look, Dalbeg, we're home. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. There's the sign, Dalbeg. But we're not home. Why not? Because that's just a sign. Now, if you follow that sign, we'll get home. God doesn't want us just caught up with the signs. He wants us home. He wants us at home. It's at home you experience everything that the sign points to. Hallelujah. If you're born again tonight, if you know God, you've already, you're home. Why would you stop short of the sign? You are a sign. That's what it says in Isaiah. You are a sign. You are a wonder. People are supposed to be looking at your life now and saying, whoa, show me the way to go home. See, that's Sarah's anthem. Man, tired, doesn't know what to go to bed. My mother taught me that song wrong. You know that. For years, it didn't even make sense the way she taught me because nobody drank in her house. You know what I'm saying? Alcohol was just taboo. Quite rightly so. And so this is about, show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little dream about, what is that? About an hour ago, and it's gone right to my head. I discovered alcohol a few years later, and the song started to make sense. Oh, but shake it. No, everything your parents taught you was right, you know what I'm saying? Like the prayer they taught us, you know, tonight as I lay down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die, you got to that line and you couldn't get to sleep, you were so scared. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord is my soul to take. Amen. I don't want to say amen. Hallelujah. You don't stop at a sign, you continue to where the sign is pointing. That's the place of fulfillment. That's the place of experience. Hallelujah. Amen. What's the best? You know, I asked Rod this question after that. I said, what's the best? What's the best scenario for a church? Is it a church where there's loads of signs and wonders? Where people, loads of people in that church get healed? I said, is that the best scenario? Or is the best scenario a church where nobody gets sick anymore? I want to tell you, a lot of Christians would prefer the first scenario. That's the truth. Than a church where nobody gets sick anymore because they know they're already healed and they have power and authority in the name of Jesus to resist that sickness. Hallelujah. Think about it. Because the people who don't get sick anymore become a sign that shows people the way home. There's no hit and miss stuff out there anymore. It's no some he does and some he doesn't anymore. Hallelujah. Come on. The old Dalbeg sign's on Babel Beach, somebody told me. Somebody nicked it from Dalbeg and ended up down on Babel Beach. Don't know if it's still there, but it was there for a season. The people, if you're a tourist and you go down there, down, oh, Dalbeg. They're not on Dalbeg, they're on Babel Beach. Come on. We are designed to be signs and wonders that point to our Father. How come you never get sick? Well, let me tell you about my daddy. Let me tell you about my daddy, who's my healer, who declared over me that I don't get sick anymore, that he's the Lord who heals me, who healed me, who keeps me healed. Hallelujah. Let me take you home and I'll introduce you to him. So you can come and live where I live. You can live in the secret place of the Most High. You can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can say when there's a flu epidemic, pandemic, or any other demic, glory to God, hallelujah, that 10,000, 1,000 might fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, that's 11,000 to one, but it won't come near me. That's good odds, folks. If you're a betting man or woman, that's good odds. Hallelujah. It won't come near me because, see, come and I'll show you where I live. Hallelujah. I'm just a sign to where I live. Come and I'll introduce you to my daddy. Jesus didn't say, I'll come down to your house, bring the boy out here, slap, knock him down, pick him up again, slap, knock him down, pick him up again, slap, knock him down, pick him up again, slap, knock him down. That's how he's healed now. No, pick him up again, slap. Just for good measure. And everybody's chanting and shouting and screaming and hollering. And that was that grey moon tonight. Let's go home and take the pills again. Well, I need to go home. It's time for my medicine. But that was a great meeting tonight. Come on. I'm going to fill in my mobility forms. Where are they? I need to get home early tonight. I have to go down to the benefits office to state my claim. Where do you want to live? Do you want to stop at the sign? Or do you want to become the sign? Sometimes we need to be the sign that goes to people. We need to be the evangelist that goes to the church as a sign. And tell them. Not line them all up and bump, 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 bump them again, you know what I'm saying? Knock them all over. I'm not saying sometimes that's more real. But I've been in churches where I got charged like a bull, like a wild bull coming running at me. I obliged before he hit me. I just hoped there was somebody behind me to catch me because I didn't want to bang my head. I can tell you the guy's name, man. He's a big name preacher on TBN. Came running at me like a mad, frenzied man. Ah! I thought, I'd get out of the way of this place, God. I fell over. I responded to the altar call. I thought, maybe this guy's a big one. Maybe I'll get a prophetic word, you know. A good one, you know what I'm saying? A cracker, that's all I got was charged. I thought, I'm getting out of here, man. Boom. Make sure there's a catcher behind you. You don't say that. Here I go. See, with this man, Jesus again shows us God's best for us. All he does is simply repeat the promise of the covenant. Go home. What did he say? I forgot he said that. Shack up, show me the way to. Come on. He said, go home. Go home. Your son lives at home. So all the Christians are waiting to go home to heaven. No, he's supposed to bring home down here. Heaven into the earth. So other people can live at home with you. Hallelujah. Go home, your son. Lives. What does that man discover that day? The word works. He could have hung around there pleading with Jesus, hanging on to his legs. Oh, please come. Please come. Did you hear what I said? Go home. Your son lives. Oh, no. Please. Go home. Your son lives. Oh, no. If you don't come, you'll never. Oh, go home. Your son If you don't lay your hands on, no, go home. Your son lives. And he went and he set off for home. And it sounds like it was quite a long way home. But the servants came out to meet him and said, your son lives. Surprise, surprise. The word works. What works? The word works. Is the love of Christ compelling you to go and to show and to flow? I'm not knocking signs and wonders, but I'm just telling you, we need to become the signs and the wonders. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I've heard too many healing evangelists say, I'm sorry, I have to cancel the meetings, I've got the flu. That one flew, all right. I'm not knocking, I'm just saying, but wait a minute, I think, whoa, I have to go. I have power and authority to tell the flu to fly. Come on. Nothing shall by any means harm me. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, absolutely nothing, not a thing shall by any means, that's any means, harm or hurt you. If you simply take the authority of the word and put it to work. Go home. Your son lives. It's time for us to go and to show and to flow so that others can know and grow. It's time for us to hook up and look up. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Are you hearing that? As he is, so are we. And that's something I want to do just as we conclude that word today. Jesus is an evangelist, he's a soul winner. And as he is, so are we in this world. Are we hearing this? We've got good news that we carry. Not always just to the world, but sometimes we need to bring that news to the church. And there's somebody here that's expressed that from their heart, that they want to bring that message to the people around about where they live. It's taken a while for me to get to this, because the Lord reminded me tonight when I was just preparing this and going back over this, that there's someone here tonight that we're going to lay hands on tonight and set apart for what's in their heart to get their neighbours in to show. Some of them are Christians, but they need an evangelist to bring them some of the good news that they've been lacking. Amen. We're going to do that. And I'm going to ask the leaders to come up first of all.